Good morning, world.
Good morning, Los Angeles. We have a little problem here. Sam is totally freaking out right now because obviously we're having a few technical problems with the sound coming from the computer through to the radio network. So, anyways, while he's doing
good
that...
Good morning to you.
he's trying to calm down right now.
Yeah, I'm okay. I think I know what's going on. I don't know. But good morning to everyone. We're back.
Yes, we are.
Fourth day, and I'm just amazed at the responses we're getting.
Yeah.
And I wanted to.
I was actually reading a couple of the forums yesterday. So
yeah,
we did get
that?
A few.
Yeah. It was. In fact, I'm going to go online and I want to read that to you, because I thought this was very nice, and it's representative of some of the comments we got.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
And this one is entitled. You banging on Manu. Now, I don't know what that means, but the message says, "Hey, Sam and Manu, great show. I really enjoyed the whole thing, and your interview with the adorable girl was amazing. Good job."
Yeah.
Manu, you're just too funny and quirky. Hey, now that your age has been revealed, I hope that you didn't take to heart. You just started late in life, right? I think you're awesome.
You know, I think I know where that comes from.
Really?
Yeah, remember you were saying... Actually, I think I know where that's coming from. When you were saying that the young girl was 6 years old and already she's booming through life and she knows what she wants.
Right.
And then I think you had said you've got something going on and then you said, oh, Manu, you're 38 and you've done nothing. So... But the fact of the truth is I had no any form of inspiration whatsoever until I was in I was 28 years old, and that was my very first experience with regards to trying into the television and film business. And it wasn't until I was 30 that I came here to the U.S. and that's when I took a very serious look into performing arts and studying theater and everything like that. So, you could say that I was a very late bloomer.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, this girl sure ain't, you know.
No.
I mean, she started
no,
early,
she knew.
You know?
Her parents said that she knew from the time that she was 2 years old.
Right, right.
That they had something.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to see, you know. I mean,
no,
when you have,
not
when
at all.
When you have a kid like this, you know, it's just amazing, you know. And everybody loved the interview. I thought it was great. It was funny. And it was unusual, you know, and not many people bring guests like this to their shows.
No, not at all.
So I think we're very fortunate. And as I said yesterday, I think she's going to be big. And when she is, we'll be able to come out and say, hey, we had her here first.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I mean, I have to really commend the parents because you can tell that, you know, they have obviously seen true, you know, true talent with their little girl,
right?
And just really supporting. And I truly believe that what this woman said, you know, preparing her to be grounded, you know, because I think we know and they know that she is definitely going to be hitting the screen sometime soon.
Yeah, I think so.
Very
soon. Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah, I think so. And she'll do real well.
Yeah,
anyway,
I think so.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I had to get up really early this morning because I had to take my roommate to set. She's working on set today. So her call time was 7 a.m.
Oh, nice. So you drove over there?
Yeah.
That was
nice
of you. What is she working on? A movie, TV?
No. A Verizon commercial, just doing background.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least it's work.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Like, just work.
Yeah.
You just got to do work.
Yeah, so did you hear of the...
We're all feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, you know, trying to find work and, you know, trying to do whatever you can right now, the U.S. initial jobless claims, right, for this, you know, year or perennial year, I think, or whatever it is, fell from 22,000 originally, right? It is now to 356,000 applicants.
Okay,
of
applicants
unemployment.
For unemployment.
Applicants for unemployment.
Again, people are still doubting whether we have a recession or not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well,
but isn't that phenomenal? Yeah. 22,000.
Mm-hmm.
22,000 from last year's claims. Mm-hmm. You know, this is around the America, obviously, to 356,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Are you sure this is just for the United States or only for California? I mean, that seems not high enough for the U.S. I would think it would be like a couple million at least.
Maybe it is California.
Yeah, because the like the unemployment rate, usually the optimum in economics, they teach you that the optimum unemployment rate is about 4%. So then when it starts climbing to 5 and 6, people get really worried.
Right.
But, so you know it's more than a few hundred thousand.
Right.
You know? So I think...
So this is... which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think so.
Oh, my God. It's even more frightening if that's the truth on that one.
Yeah, that's a lot of people unemployed. But, It changes, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for the most part, if you want a job, you'll find one. You know, it's still, I don't think we're still that deep in a recession, you know.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I'm finding it really hard myself.
Yeah. Well, you've got a special case here of being an actress, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and we have restrictions. We've got we can only go for certain jobs. Right. I mean, I could probably go into office management or something like that quite easily.
Right.
But it defies the real purpose of who I am and what I want to do.
Right.
You know, so I have to limit myself where I'm applying. But, you know, it's almost, you never know.
Yeah.
Never know.
I know. Now, did you hear about the tornadoes yesterday?
I did.
Yeah. A lot of people are dying and their same families are dying together.
I mean,
can you imagine? Can you imagine that?
And, I know.
That is scary. I mean, roofs are blown off the houses. And,
yeah.
And,
I was watching an interview this morning, a family who had just relocated and had lost everything in Hurricane Katrina.
Uh-huh.
They relocated to, Tennessee?
Tennessee,
to start a new life and build a new home and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
And their home was completely destroyed.
Again.
Again. Yeah, so take on that poor family.
Is this someone
family.
You know?
No, not someone that I knew. It was someone that I was watching the news this morning about. And I was like, oh, man, that would really suck.
Yeah.
So homeless again twice over.
Yeah.
So what about this morning? Since 6 p.m. last night, there's been this home barricade,
standoff with police and this man that was shooting people. He said he killed his family.
Three members, and he's already killed a SWAT officer and injured another officer.
Oh yeah,
who's in critical condition right now?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, some people are like really wild. Where was that? Was that like in Westchester or something? Because I saw something on TV. I'm wondering if that was it.
In Westchester?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's where it was.
I couldn't see where it was being. Yeah.
Geez, I mean, you know, people are going crazy, you know, and sometimes I wonder about the gun laws, although I'm not going to get into that, you know, it's very controversial.
But, it is.
You know, but you just figure that, crazy people will always get a hold of a gun regardless of whether it's legal or not.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
So why make the good people criminals by carrying a gun, you know, so I can understand the right to arms and all that stuff. And
yeah, well, unfortunately, a young 12-year-old boy was fatally killed yesterday, having a weapon in the house, and he was playing around with the weapon with no intentions, and it went off and went through his arm and through his chest and killed him.
You're kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
So... Well, that's another. Well, I have conflicted things about having, you know, the law of weapons in your home and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, in Australia, we don't have that. If you're found with a weapon, you're going to prison for 10 years.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well. You cannot have a weapon at all.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a license, there's so many restrictions that it's like, what the hell do I want one for?
Yeah.
There's so many restrictions.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, in this country, the Constitution gives us that right to bear arms. So I don't think it's going to go away.
Do you know why?
Why?
way, because it was placed there for civil rights, mm-hmm. in case the government came against you. So it was really protection against their own government.
I see. Okay. So they were thinking that the government is going to come and...
Correct.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Well, like martial law.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that terminology?
Oh yeah. When the government starts putting the military out on the streets.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And that's why the Constitution was...
That's very interesting. I did not know that.
You didn't?
I did not know. But you know, the amazing thing about the founding fathers who came to this country and founded... the way of life here, you know,
yeah.
And when they wrote the Constitution, I think it's a genius document that they wrote, because imagine hundreds of years ago, and they knew what problems might occur, because they came from monarchy, you know, from England. And
they've already experienced what can happen with the French and the English and, goings on in the 1600s, 1700s.
Right, so they knew what they didn't want.
That's for sure.
So, and then they created a place where we have the most freedom in the world.
Right.
You know, and civil rights and so forth.
Well,
so
not so much now. It's kind of like turned upside down on its ass on that one. Sorry.
Okay, I don't know how that is, but okay.
Oh, come on. Open the eyes, Sam. Open your eyes.
Yeah. So, listen, I just wanted to plug a couple of our shows. I keep forgetting to do that. But, that we are on from 9 to 11 every morning, weekdays. Of course, we got to get some rest on the weekend. Although I don't get that much of it, you know, not anymore. And following us at noon is TJ, and he does a one-man show, and he's extremely funny. And
I listened to him yesterday.
Did you? And what did
you
think?
I did. Yeah. I thought he was really funny, actually.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he just sits here, and he lets his mind go crazy, you know, and he pretty much says everything that he thinks, I think. And, it's funny. I think
did
it's
you
funny,
hear him?
You know?
Did you hear him do the Catholic ceremony thingo? I can't really do this quote on him because he just did it so well.
Yeah.
But if you go to a Catholic ritual church, so to speak, the priest, you all line up and the priest says this religious thing, but he was doing it, you know, like from the mind of the person, not the mind of the priest.
I see.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's going like, I will walk up to the altar and this asshole will place some dust on my forehead.
Yeah.
And I know that I will get a blackhead and I really want to wipe it off, but I know it's wrong.
Yeah, he's got a mind on him, this guy.
That was just one of the things.
Yeah, yeah. So so you can listen to him between 12 to 2. And then at 2, we have Johnny Dam, and he usually brings in Meryl, who I think is very funny. And and Johnny always brings up great points, you know, and I think he's very entertaining. And so those are the daily shows so far, and, you know, we've got several weekly shows. Tonight we're gonna hear from Greg Rempe with his Barbecue Central.
Oh yeah, and I'm looking forward to that.
And he totally like produced his show like professionally, you know.
I liked his little quote, something wrong with your meat or something.
I put there. Yeah.
What was
I put like feel just like a piece of meat.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then when I first saw that, I was like, oh, do you just feel like a piece of meat? Right? And then of course the first thing that comes to your mind is, yeah, okay, you feel like a piece of meat.
Yeah.
And then I read it, it's like, oh, the barbecue.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to kind of do a play on words, you know. It was pretty funny.
That was a good play on words,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, I guess so. So we are going to have the barbecue show, and he comes on at 6 Pacific time, 9 Eastern, and all the hours in between for Mountain and Central time.
Yeah.
And, of course, the rest of the world, we don't really know what time it's going to be at. So.
No. Ireland, I think, is 8 hours ahead of us.
8 hours.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So
whatever
time that is.
I'm speaking of Ireland because, you know.
Yeah.
My other half, my Your special half.
Your other half is there.
Is over there with his dad.
Uh-huh.
And his mom, or stepmom. Yeah. And the farm. Now, yeah. Actually, it's not a farm. Did you know he has, they have a property with a castle on it.
Right.
And I believe the castle, if I'm correct, is around 600 years old.
Yeah, you were telling me that. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, so, but they don't live in the castle.
No, not the castle. The castle is, you right, know, obviously yeah. Run down, but, I mean, it still exists.
Yeah.
If you go on YouTube and you type in Hewson Castle, H-E-W-S-O-N Castle, or right. Castle Hewson, you can go directly to a couple of links
right.
that there's video of the castle, of the manor house, and of the whole, you know, castle's property and everything like that. It's really extreme.
Sounds nice.
It's really interesting.
Have you seen it yourself? Have you gone there yet?
No, I haven't gone there yet.
Oh, okay. But you've seen pictures.
I have seen pictures, yeah. William has been sending me pictures via the computer.
Nice. Yeah. Does he miss you?
Yes, he does.
Oh, how cute.
Look, I'm going all shy again.
Yeah, you're blushing.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. How can I not? He's adorable. He's a good man.
Good.
He's a good man.
I'm really happy for you.
Thanks.
You know, and I hope you don't go much longer without sex and stuff. Although I know you know how to entertain yourself, but
oh,
it's
no.
not the same thing.
We had computer know. Sex last night.
Oh, you did?
It was funny.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah,
did
it was
he come
funny.
On the keyboard or something?
No, I don't know.
You don't know? You didn't ask him?
It you was
know,
funny.
It's like, sometimes I wonder, like, you know, people said they're computers.
Yeah.
You imagine, like, how sticky the floor under the desk must be.
Oh, my God, you know? Yes, you're right.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, people sit there. I don't know what they do
on
with what comes out.
Like
yeah.
That.
But, but, you know, I mean, it must be sticky there. It's kind of gross, you know, if you ask me. But that's another problem that people are having.
I suppose. Yeah. Yeah. It's not phone sex anymore. It's computer sex.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with
oh
the phone, you sort of can go to the bathroom and do it there,
yes.
you know. But you women don't have that problem, you know, so I'm sort of envious about that. You know, you can just do it anywhere, you know.
And, I don't know about that. No.
Why?
Well,
yeah,
I don't
you can
know.
Do it anywhere. I mean, I hear of women that cross their legs and have an orgasm, you know.
How?
They do. They just squeeze their muscles. I mean, you know, the sensitivity between one woman and
another
is very different.
Damn those women.
You'd like to be able to do that.
Yes,
huh? I know,
course.
Me too.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice, you know. But then again, you know, if you want to do it in the car, you can. You know, it's like men, they just have that mess all the time to deal with. You know, it's like, what do you do with it?
You know what? I always question, you know, when you jump into someone's car or particularly a guy's car,
uh-huh.
and there's always a roll of tissue paper.
Never find it in my car. No, I'm not that adventurous. You know, I can wait till I get home.
You know what? I have a feeling from memory. I have a feeling that I do remember getting into someone's car. This is years ago, obviously, because I vaguely remember it. And I distinctly remember smelling, you know, cum. You know, like...
Really?
You know, yeah, cum
Does
in the car.
Does it smell? Does it smell? Because,
yeah,
I don't
well,
know. I never
this,
thought it smells because mine doesn't. Never has.
No, I think it's like an offset odor, maybe if it's been sitting or if it's
ooh,
been on tissues
yeah,
or
disgusting.
Something like that. And I was like, ooh, what the fuck is this? This is rude.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, there was freaking toilet paper in his center console.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
That's like, oh my God.
I know.
Oh, I remember when it was up in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
I remember this specific guy now. I remember.
Yeah.
God,
I remember
what a jerk.
When we were kids, we'd play in the park and stuff, you know, and always find like used condoms and stuff, you know, and pick them up with sticks. And, you know, I mean, when you think about it, it's really gross. But for a kid, you know, just the fact that this has to do with sex was kind of a turn on, you know. And I guess back in those days, you know, in the 60s, people were doing it in the parks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I bet they were.
Yeah, so.
Well, speaking of kids back in the days,
yeah,
you know, I got this email through the internet from my sister, Jacqueline, back in Brisbane, Australia.
Uh-huh, right.
And she said, it was like obviously one of those mass mailing things.
Uh-huh.
But it was just, it was funny and it was, you know, like brought you back to
right.
those days.
Uh-huh.
Now, it says congratulations to those who survived, you know, the mothers from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, 60s, and the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And we survived the mothers who smoke and drink and smoke weed. And we survived the mothers who took aspirin and ate blue cheese dressing and ate tuna and all the fish that they could eat. And we survived the ones, survived the cribs that were covered in lead paint. And we drank from the garden hose and we never got sick. And we ate cakes and white bread and real butter and drank as much soda as we could. But we would never overweight because we were playing outside always. We left in the morning and we were home by dinner. And no one was able to reach us by the cell phone, but we were okay. We used to ride our go-karts and our bikes and our motorbikes on the farms, and we had our accidents, but we were okay. We never had PlayStations, no PCs, no chat rooms, or no MySpace, because we had friends to play with. We fell out of trees, broke our bones, you know, went to our friend's place. I'll tell you a story with regards to this. Uh-huh. But no one ever sued. We played pickup sticks and stones and knuckles and you know, there's all those child games that we used to play were kids. Yes. And we never were disappointed or bored. And we had the freedom and failure and success and responsibility.
Yeah.
And we learned to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Times were different.
Times were definitely different.
You know,
different.
I mean, today kids grow up differently. You know, they're a lot more isolated.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's not safe to be outside, you know, and that's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, you know, the world's changed and everything like that, you know, because now there's so many lunatics out there, you don't know what to...
Yeah, I know, I loved my childhood, you know, I mean, I
do
it was
too.
Great, you know?
I am so, so fortunate that I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
I am so fortunate because I never had to deal with anything like this.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. And I was right. As soon as that sun rose, man, I was out there... I was playing, I was fishing,
I
was swimming in the
outside.
Creeks, and all sorts of things.
I know, like building go-karts and using slingshots. We used to do the craziest things, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yeah. You know what we used to do?
What's your craziest thing that you did?
Well, there was a couple things we used to like to do. You know, where I lived, it was just condos, you know, like apartment buildings, the whole street and stuff where I grew up. That's pretty much the way they live in Israel, you know, not a lot of single family houses, a lot of buildings and stuff. So there'd be like, you know, fences in front of the building and stuff, like low fences. And what we would do is this, we'd take a bicycle tire and, you know, it has like metal wire inside. So we take out the metal wire and then it becomes wobbly.
Right.
So we would attach it to a string, hide behind the wall, and then when people would pass by, we'd sort of like start wiggling it and pulling it, and this was called the snake, and people thought there was a snake crossing the sidewalk. And
so
they just go like, you know. And that was like the funniest thing ever, you know. And we used to love to do that, you know. I mean, it looked like a convincing snake. So that was one thing. Another thing we did was a water mine. Okay, like a landmine, we called it, but a water mine. And what we would do is we'd take a can of, cans, you know, just like a can, a food can.
Right.
Okay, and we'd fill it with water and put it on a parked car, you know, a car was parked parallel to the sidewalk. We put it on the hood, again, pull a wire and connect that to the fence. So people would walk by and the thing would splash. They'd hit the wire and the thing would splash on them, you know, and it's just like they're soaked. And they don't know where the hell it came from, you know. So that's one thing. We also used to throw eggs at people stuff, you know. So that was
the old egg trick or something like that.
Yeah. So you see, I mean, you know, our childhood was great. You know, I thought it was really good. You know, we were able to go outside and hang out. I mean, we were never home.
You know, the latest prank that I've done as an adult, and this was just last year at Halloween. It was Halloween night, and William and I were up at his apartment. Anyways, I just happened to be looking at the outside the kitchen window, and I saw my two neighbors, who are two young girls, get out of, park their car. And you could tell that they were drunk because they because they couldn't get the car in very well. It took them so long, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, these two have had a few.
Yeah.
And they get out of the car and everything like that, and they're like holding, they just walking past below the windows. And so the window was kind of cracked open. And up in the hill, right behind the apartments, is this vacant hill with a monastery, and quite often there are coyotes up there. So in the middle of the night, sometimes you'll hear the coyotes, howling and everything.
Yeah, right.
So I'm at the window and I'm ducking down as little as, so they could not look up and see. And I was like, like this, right?
Yeah. How old were you when you did that?
No, this was just last year.
Last year?
Yeah, Halloween, okay. Right? Ooh. And you should have seen, they just froze, froze, and they just hang on to each other, and they're looking around frantically, going like, oh, you could tell they're like panicking, away. And you should have seen them take off drunk as anything.
Really?
They're just like running off down the hill.
And were you drunk too to do that? I mean,
yeah, well, of course I was.
I can't imagine you taking the time to do something like this.
It was so funny because I really, like this. Oh my gosh, you should have seen them run.
Yeah, some people get carried away in Halloween though. It's a funny holiday.
That was my latest prank, I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny. I did another prank, which wasn't probably so funny.
Okay, so let's not hear about it. what a thought came to my mind the other day is masturbation is costing society a lot of water.
Okay. What?
Okay.
Where did you get this from?
Okay, let me tell you. Okay, because I was thinking about this, and this is because somebody, I'm not going to say who, but someone brought up the, the fact that a lot of men masturbate in the shower, right?
Okay. Oh my God.
I prefer other ways, but many men do. So when you think about it, I mean, you've got to, you take your shower, you shampoo, you soap yourself, blah, 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 and then you start going at it, right? So what is it, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That's a lot of water. I mean, can you imagine how much water is wasted on that, that is not necessary? So just imagine how many gallons you think probably go through the shower head in a minute, so multiply that by 5 or 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have a drought. Regardless of whether it rains here or not, because people are wasting water. People are wasting water masturbating, So I'm here to call to ask people to do it elsewhere. Okay?
Do it elsewhere.
Don't do it in the shower, okay? We don't want to have a water shortage here.
Make sure you bring that toilet roll in your car. Something like that. But what? I think you're right. Now that you've explained that, it's like, that makes a lot of sense.
Right. You see, and that's where my mind goes.
Yeah. Well, I, I'm very aware of that now.
Okay,
now that you've
good.
Brought that up. So, wow. How's that? How's that?
That sounds good. Anyway, can we take a break? Let's take a break. We do have a guest coming in at 10.
Yes.
An interesting woman, I think.
Just to herself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's
cool.
Got something to sell or tell about, but it sounded interesting, so I had her come in.
Okay.
And so that's at 10 o'clock, and today for a change, we are prepared, so we don't have to rush through the break to set the microphones up and everything, which we have been doing.
We have plenty of time.
Yeah. And
but I do have to pee.
You do?
Yes. So this is good timing.
Yeah, so we got to take a break, right?
Yes.
All right. Go pee and come back.
I will. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of things that are on the headlines.
Okay.
The Egyptian FM, the foreign minister, threatened that if Palestinians were to continue to violate the borders, that anyone who did so, who breached the law...
Palestinians pretty much violate everything.
Yeah.
We already know that.
And dare cross the borders, that he would have their legs broken.
Really?
Yes,
I'd like to be there, quote,
legs broken.
Sounds good. I'd like to be there with a baseball bat and start breaking legs. I would have a lot of fun. You know, I mean, these people actually broke down the steel wall that separates Gaza from Egypt.
Yes.
They actually broke it down and just flooded Egypt, you know, like 50,000 people.
It was more than that. It's been more than that. There's really? Something like...
I guess it was 50,000 on the first day. Yeah. I haven't really followed that.
Apparently it's getting really, really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're bringing on their own demise, you know. I mean, they could have, you know, I mean, they're at a point where they could have their own state, their own government, but they have no idea, they have no clue what's going on.
No.
And they, because, let me tell you something. It seems like what is important to them is respect and violence, you know. So and they will fight for that respect until they're dead. And what happens is that, you know, whatever you want to give to them is not enough. They want everything. They
right.
want the whole enchilada. And so what happens is that when they keep on saying no, 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 that's not enough.
Yeah.
You know, they're limiting their own opportunities. You know, it's not like they're punishing anyone. You know, Israel is not going to go away.
No.
So they have to accept it and just learn to live with it. But they're so fractured within, and they're so unsophisticated when it comes to politics, to diplomacy, and so forth, that what you get is a lot of people that may not feel that way, but are suffering. You know, the innocent people, the average person on the street, they barely have any food. They live in slums, you know, and they don't have any jobs or anything. So, you know, and they just keep on keeping on, you know. And so that's why people are saying there's probably never going to be a solution there.
No.
Because when you deal with everything with violence, it doesn't solve anything. It doesn't get you anywhere.
No, not
so
at
anyway,
all.
So anyway, that's our serious part of this. Now. Yeah, obviously, well, it gets me all excited when I talk about this.
Obviously. Well, yeah. Angelina Jolie is in Baghdad, and obviously for her humanitarian discussions with the government officials, the military, and the UN.
Right.
And it's in reference to the Iraqis' refugees and displaced persons, you know, since the war. She's actually stepped in. And her inquest has revealed, you know, from her research and everything like that, and talking to the officials, Iraqi officials and that there is approximately 1.5 million to 2 million Iraqis that have fled to Syria, you know, basically having, you know, being completely displaced because of the war
refugees,
and everything like that.
Yes.
So, you know, I know she's over there right now,
yeah.
even that she's pregnant with twins.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, sometimes I don't understand celebrities taking on diplomatic matters to their own hands. But, you know, on the other hand, on the other hand.
Well, she's a voice right now.
Yes.
She's a very known voice and people are listening to her.
Yeah. And just from her actions, I have to conclude that she's genuine about this because she doesn't need the fame. She doesn't need the exposure.
No,
mean, she gets
not
enough.
At all.
So if she's doing this anyway, you know, it doesn't matter how much or how little she does, but the fact that she is associated with certain problem areas in the world brings attention and focus to those areas.
Yes, it
does. Because she is famous. She's a worldwide figure. And so regardless, you know, so I have to salute her for doing this.
I salute her, too. I think also I think she should. I'd like to wonder or figure out how there would be a possibility to give her a call and talk to her about Kenya as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with what's going on there, you know, with those families there, because they're all being displaced as well. And maybe it's just too violent for her to do anything right now.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
But she gets around. I mean, she's not the you know, the chairman of the UN, UN or
she's
something,
not,
you know, where she has
her
to,
power is still
it's
limited.
Not a responsibility. You
no,
know? But regardless, and I mean, and she's is it me or does she seem to get more beautiful every day?
She's, my God, I've seen pictures of her when she was like 10, 12 years old, and she looks, she's still so adorable.
Yeah, really.
You know,
she's
and she
absolutely
is a beautiful
stunning.
Woman.
She's stunning.
She,
you know,
she's turned into a probably the most classic woman out there. And I think even for a straight woman, mm-hmm. if she came up to you and she said, would you come and sleep with me? Uh-huh. They would be saying, oh, yeah.
You mean women would?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think a lot of women are lesbians in a closet, you know.
Yeah.
And it seems to be the in thing. You know, we talked about this. And it's more acceptable now. You know? But I got to tell you this. From all the responses we've got on our shows, it seems almost everybody brings up the lesbianism that we talk about every now and then. So I think it has a lot of appeal, you know.
You and know what? Well, with that being said, why don't we invite Tiger to our show? Because she is bisexual, but right. now, you know, she's on the lesbian side, so to speak.
Right.
But she's really someone. She's not... I don't know. She has a lot of insight, and I love who she is as a person. But there's much more to her than being a bisexual woman.
Yeah, so by all means, you know, ask her to come. I told you she should, you know.
Yeah. And she's Native American, too, from the Choctaw tribe. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so, which makes it even more interesting, because among the Indian tribes, if you are bisexual,
uh-huh.
right, it's actually... it's actually honor. It's an honor,
really?
Almost. Yeah, they look.
So they encourage it, or
no, it's not.
But they admire it, or
no, they don't encourage it. They don't tell you, you know, bisexual is perfect. But obviously, when you're a young person, you're either straight or bi or you're gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of develops that way.
Right.
So from a young age, obviously, her people said, "Oh, you are." One that speaks with, walks with two spirits, uh-huh. meaning that she has the body or the insight or the consciousness of both a woman and a man.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So,
you know, so yeah, you
it's
kinda,
really interesting to
see
that.
Yeah, you get the
that.
Best of both worlds, you know.
I guess so. But she has a beautiful son. He's 15 years old. His name is Forrest. And I saw I've seen pictures of him, and the
what
father.
What do you mean pictures? You never see him? He doesn't live with her?
No. He is back with his father.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And
how does that happen?
Well, you know, she's here, he's there. He remarried. The father remarried.
There where? Where do you mean she's there?
I think Illinois. I think Illinois.
But usually kids stay with their mom. So what happened here?
No, it's just a decision.
Oh.
You know, it was just the right decision because he is a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
And she's only been out here in L.A. for a year.
Right.
So, you know, so her son is back with the father.
Yeah. And I can't help but feel, I mean, I don't judge people,
mm-hmm.
but I can't help but feel the child might feel abandoned or something, you know. And I'm speaking from experience, you know.
Yeah.
I was sent here when I was 16, and... you know,
it wasn't really your choice, no?
Well, you know, I mean, how much...
Yes and no.
How much do you really know at 16?
Not very much.
Know, not very much. So you sort of, like, go along with your dad. And
all I knew was the farm.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything else.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've had a lot of issues because of it, but I've worked most of them out. I've come to terms with the fact that it was probably a good thing that I came here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love living here.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time I go back to visit, it's just not the same. I don't feel at home there as much. You know?
Really?
I mean, I've been here 31 years, you know. It's almost
and you
32.
Lived in South Africa, too.
I lived in South Africa as well, yes.
Yeah, I hear that was a lot of fun for you, wasn't it?
I really enjoyed it there. You know, I mean, it was just, it's a beautiful land.
Yeah.
We take trips all the time. And I like the people, you know. I mean, there it's like you go into a business meeting. There's a lady comes in and gives coffee and tea to everyone and stuff and cookies, and that's
Through Smoko time. Do they have Smoko time there?
Smoker time.
Smoko.
Smoko.
I thought that's what you were referring to. Well, like back home, you go to work,
uh-huh.
and you know, like at I don't know 9 o'clock, 8:30, 9 o'clock,
right.
and then by 10 o'clock. this is really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the office buildings, and this is everywhere. This is everywhere.
Uh-huh.
You have Smoko. They uh-huh. call it Smoko. Uh-huh. So essentially, yes, it's, you know, for smoking cigarettes.
Okay, so it does have to do with smoke.
Kind of, yeah.
Right.
But they have a little trolley that they run through all the office buildings,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
With all these goodies on it,
uh-huh.
Whether it be, you know, like... Mars, bowls of cereals, fruits, yeah. vegetables, pies,
yeah.
you know, our little meat pies that we have back home.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like small, you know, small snacks and stuff.
You're making me hungry now.
And so, yeah, but that's what we do. And you have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's
and it's throughout
nice.
The coffee building.
Yeah. You see, but this was like in business meetings, you know. It's like if you go to visit a client or something, you sit in the conference room and, you know, a lady comes in and serves you and stuff in porcelain in China mugs and stuff. So it's different, you know, it's different there. The food, I love the food there. They've got food from so many different places in the world, you know, and I love the people there. But admittedly, it's a difficult place to live. It's very violent. And from what I understand, I mean, that was 10 years ago exactly since I came back from there. And I hear that the violence is really, really escalated.
It has escalated from what I understand, too.
Yeah, so a lot of people are moving to Australia and Canada and
my girlfriend England. From Australia, who's originally South African, from South Africa,
right.
And she's of mixed race, and when she
yeah,
was...
Yeah, they call them coloreds there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the violence and the escalation of the racism there, her family went to Australia, were refugees to Australia.
Oh.
Yeah, so that they wouldn't be hurt.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I think she was like 3 or 4, 5 years old, somewhere around there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry to let everyone know, but everyone out there who are avid fish lovers, there's a little concern going out there because the fish from the Gulf of Mexico have been tested for toxic. It's from a toxic marine algae, and it's from the fish eating the marine algae from the Gulf of Mexico. And so far, they have reported over 30 cases across the nation now from poisoning. Now, what they have determined that it's been specifically known from, known in the grouper fish, the snapper, and the hogfish. So everyone, stay away from those particular fish.
Yeah.
Well, how about all
our fish expert?
You know, but it's known as ciguatera, the thing. Apparently, it causes bad nausea. Now, the reason why I brought this up was not too long ago I went to a house party, and they had fish there, you know, a couple of different fish, and one of the fish was grouper.
Oh, wow.
And I went, wow, that's interesting, grouper. I mean, because I used to scuba dive in Australia.
Uh-huh.
And so we, you know,
so
I know what...
So you would see that fish.
I used to see that fish.
I never heard of it, yeah.
Oh, they're like ugly looking fish.
Really?
Yeah, really ugly. But I've never eaten it. I've never eaten it.
Yeah.
So anyways, I had the grouper. And sure enough, that night when I went to bed, and it was horrible, horrible, horrible.
Yeah.
I was so sick.
Yeah, bad fish can make you really sick.
Yeah.
It's like poison.
It is. It is. And anyways, that's what I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I was sick for a whole day. More than 24 hours.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
You got to watch what you eat.
It was
really
horrible.
Did. Yeah. Manu, I think our guest is probably waiting, so let's set up.
Okay.
And we'll go get her. And will be...
Is it 10 o'clock
right
already?
Back. It's 10 to 10.
10 to 10?
Yes.
All right. I'll go find her and I'll
do
bring
that.
Her up.
And in the meantime, I'll give out our phone numbers. If you want to call and talk to us, our toll-free number is 866-515-6977. Outside the U.S., it's 323-284-2554. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Our guest is not here yet, so we'll just move on to the... business of the day.
Yeah, we're just going to hang on there.
Yeah.
It's a big building for her to get through security-wise.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I mean,
it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, this is like almost worse than going through the airport, you know?
Oh, no kidding.
Well, I don't know what to say, but she should be pretty interesting, you know? I mean, I'm trying to get some, you know, guests from all different varieties, and you know, so they would So we can learn something, you know.
Yeah,
a lot
I
of
think
people,
we all can learn from everything.
Yeah, you know, but a lot of people, they just want to be guessing. They don't know what the hell they want to talk about. And I ask them three times, and they still can't come up with an angle, you know. I mean, I don't need somebody sitting here and just for the fun of it so they can be on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is bullshit. So
you say it,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You
have
know,
a purpose in life.
It's bullshit, you know. So, anyway.
Hey, I'm really digging that music in the background, by the way.
Yeah, this is the Eagles. It's one of my favorite songs of all times. Are you doing what I thought you were doing?
Yes.
She's stirring her coffee with a pair of scissors.
That's all I could find.
I mean, you went to get coffee. What about stirrers, you know?
I forgot. I thought I had a spoon
God.
In here.
I mean, I would use my finger before I used scissors. I mean, you don't know what they've been.
No, it's
hot. Yeah. But you know what? I'm thinking about it. When you were in the military, you probably did a lot worse and put a lot worse stuff into your stomach.
Yeah, we used to stir our coffees with bush sticks or whatever we could find. And so, you know, by the end of you stirring it, you had all twigs and bark and all sorts of shit in your coffee.
So your body can take it, you say, right?
Yeah. See, look, I'm licking my scissors right now.
Oh, you're terrible. Anyway, this song is one of my favorite of all time. Okay.
No joke. I love it.
Do you know who that is?
Oh my God. Beach. No.
The Eagles.
Oh, God blimey.
It's the Eagles. And one of these nights, in fact, what was funny is about this song is I first heard it when I came to the United States in 1975 on a trip with my family. You know, that was a year before I moved here. So, you know, so we'd hear the radio in the car, and, you know, I mean, at 15, you're like, all you care about is music. So I heard this in the car, and I said, I love this song. But, you know, so I heard it a couple times, but they never said on the radio who it was. So, how do you buy the record when you don't know who that is,
who it
right?
is,
or
yeah.
what song it is? So I would go to record stores and start humming it to them.
I know what you... I was just about to say. I bet you went in there and went, ooh.
Yeah, and you know what? And I didn't get it right. And I can sing, you know. I can carry a tune. But I just did not get it right because I didn't know the song that well, you know. So he's like, no, I don't know what you're saying, you know. And I had a really heavy accent, I'm sure, at the time. So he's like, I don't know this kid from Shinola, you know. But and he comes in here and starts singing to me and, you know.
Oh, my God.
But so the funny thing is that by the time I got back to Israel, the song got there. So that's how I knew it.
Oh, okay.
But it's my favorite song. I have like a few all-time favorites that like it doesn't matter how often you listen to it, you don't get tired of it.
Like California Dreaming.
Like California Dreaming. Yeah.
What a great
song. I have
song,
this one.
And there's so many variations of it, you know, like covers of it.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely
yeah, we have them
love
all.
It.
We have them all.
Yeah.
You know? You want to hear one? Let's hear
one.
I mean, I definitely feel like music today. You
Me
know?
Too.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to find it. But in the meantime, I wanted to tell you about... Hold on a second. What did I want to tell you about? About the fact that I have to go and do accounting today while my hosts are going to do their shows here. And
Sam here has become, how would you say, he's starting to really dislike the fact that he has to go and do accounting.
Yes, I do.
But at least you have a job.
Yes. That's important, huh?
Yes. It is.
But this is where my heart is right now, you know,
And by the way, we don't get paid to do this show. We are doing it completely out of our own hearts and free will.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, we'll make some money.
Eventually, we hope that...
If Manu doesn't end up on the streets before we start paying her.
No, my cats are more important.
Your cats, okay. So you live outside.
I fight for survival because of my cats.
That's funny.
But, you know, I think I have established a couple of really awesome people in my life, including, mm-hmm. you know, my boyfriend, of course, that would totally not allow me to get into that situation, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's going to be anybody letting you. And besides, I would always let you stay in the office here. We'll put a little couch, a little...
totally be up for that.
Yeah, be a little bed, then you can just sleep here.
Have you noticed
there's
no security
kitchen?
Cameras up through the actual building?
Through the hallways?
Yeah, like through the hallways and that. I've been looking out.
Yeah.
I guess security is so tight downstairs because you need a card to get up the elevator and all this sort of stuff, and security takes you up there.
Yeah, you don't need security here in the hallways. I mean, it's sort of like an enclosed place.
I guess not.
You know, but someone's calling me. I think it's the guard downstairs. Hold on a second.
Okay. Well, let's see who it is. Well, while he is actually going ahead taking the call, here's something. Everyone has heard about the New World Order, you know, how there's this talk about going towards a New World Order. Well, in Iowa now, it's now forget the signature, new thumbprint bills are being invented or in action now called the biometric thumbprint scan.
Yeah, I hate to interrupt you, but they want someone
to
go downstairs because she doesn't have ID with her.
No. So, okay. All right. I will go ahead and do that.
She'll go do it. In the meantime, I'm going to play some California Dreaming versions.
Okay.
And I think they're really cool.
Cool.
All right.
I'll be with you soon.
Okay. All right. So I've collected a few versions of California Dreaming. And since we love the song so much and made it the theme of the show, and we actually titled the show California Dreaming, I wanted to play you a few versions because, I mean, obviously it's a very popular song and a lot of people love it. So let's hear. This one is Benny Benassi. I don't know what that is, but let's listen to it for a second. Oh, this is that techno version. Oh, well, this one is not that great. Okay, Bobby Womack. I think this one's nice. It's a little slow, but it's nice. Okay, so that was Guster Whatever, and it's another version.
Guster Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that was the name. I don't know. I never heard
really?
Of him. Yeah, Guster. It's I guess it's a band. I don't know where they're from. But,
yeah.
But regardless... And so you're back, and you brought back our guest. And yes. Good morning to you.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Would you introduce yourself?
My name is Erica Drew.
Hi, Erica.
Hello. And today I am representing Power Records.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for having me, by the way, both of you.
Our pleasure. Thank you. You sounded very interesting.
And
so
she brought along a very special guest. And her name is Roxy.
That's right.
How old is she?
She is 12 weeks.
12 weeks old. We have a gorgeous
black and white puppy. Is that a pug?
It's a French bulldog.
Oh.
Look at her.
Look at that thing.
Adorable.
She is. Yeah. If you could only see, you would fall in love immediately.
Okay.
Oh, I did. Yeah. Immediately. I took her out of the little cage. It's like, I got her.
Yeah, I guess Erica said she has to carry the dog everywhere with her. Why is that, Erica?
Well, I had another dog named Dodger, and it was a French bulldog as well. I'm a big fan of the breed. It's a very special type of dog. More like a child. And what happened was when I was away from home at work, he passed away, choked, and he died. And it was really devastating to me. I was depressed.
I bet. You come home and you see your dog dead?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I mean, that's got to be awful.
Yeah, it was horrible. And actually, you know, my boyfriend brought him to work. And this is what happened. He came home and he was dead. And so he brought the dog to me at work, and he was just, we were all devastated. So. He bought me for as an early Valentine's present. He purchased Miss Roxy for me.
Wow.
And
she is very sweet, adorable.
Yeah.
But you know, this stuff seems to happen. When I was married the first time,
My
wife had like two.
I like that. The first time.
the first wife.
Right. Been there. I know.
Yeah, you know what it's like.
But I think all three of us have now.
That's funny.
Yeah, but the point was that she had two, you know, those Siamese fighting fish?
Oh, wow.
And we put them together by mistake. So they ate each other.
Oh, wow.
And now she was very attached to these fish.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, you know, so I wanted to sort of compensate her for it, you know, and that. So we end up with a dog, with a chihuahua.
Oh,
that
nice.
Was the replacement for the fish.
Oh. You know? Fish are mean.
And but, you know, I mean, it's sort of like not equitable there. You know, I mean, the fish dies and then you get a dog to make up for it. It just didn't make sense. And I can't live with dogs. You know, I mean, I told you that. You know, it's like
he doesn't have any pets.
right
you don't
now.
Like dogs?
No, my kids do. They live with their mom. Mm-hmm. They have a very cute Chihuahua and a cat. Mm-hmm. But when I lived with them, I was going crazy from
right.
Them, you know,
right.
I mean they take a dump in the house and all that
you
stuff.
You gotta really love them because you know you're gonna be cleaning up after them.
Yeah.
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 But she's just like you instantly love this one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean look, Manu, she's just sitting on Manu there and enjoying herself and having a blast.
She's licking my hands and chewing on my fingers because she's obviously teething.
Yes, she is.
Something like that.
Some razor sharp ones. Beware.
Yeah, I can feel them.
I just love dogs. You know, I can't live with them, but I love dogs.
They're amazing.
You know,
me
get
too.
Along
they
with
bring
them very
so
well.
Much to your life.
Yeah.
They really do. For what? I mean, yeah, you have to pick up their poo and whatnot, but they bring so much to your life, and the joy they bring and the happiness and all that brings back into your life, it's amazing.
Any animal does that.
It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's amazing. But but Erica didn't come here to talk about dogs, obviously.
I know.
So, but, I mean, you can't ignore this dog.
No,
I mean, look at her. You just
want
to eat her up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so
really?
Anyway, yeah, so Erica, you wrote, you sent an email to us. Mm-hmm. By the way, it's all in caps, and you know that in the internet, when you write all in caps, it's like shouting. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I am kind of loud. So
I guess, yeah. So I figured this girl is shouting at me. I better listen, you know.
I do that.
I didn't
purpose.
Know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that. And plus, the fact is, did you know that all caps is harder to read than
really?
The lowercase? Yeah.
It probably
yeah.
is
because,
harder on that.
Because they're sort of squarish rather mm-hmm. than rounded,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, I mean, I learned that because I used to be in graphic design and do type
right.
and everything, you know, so it's harder to read in caps. But,
I
won't hold it against you, but just in the future, you know, because if you go like on message boards and stuff and you're going to start typing in caps, people are going to flame you, you know, they're going to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's some etiquette, a cyber etiquette.
Exactly.
I didn't quite know.
That's why. Now I know that's why William, like we were doing the text, you know, the Skype, what do you call it, instant text.
Uh-huh.
And I started putting things in caps, mm-hmm. and he came back, stop yelling at me.
Oh,
I know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
So
okay.
tell us.
So anyway,
tell us,
I just wanted to, quickly, I'm sorry, uh-huh. Manu, but I just wanted to mention you have like a couple things that you do, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so tell us about them. What do you want to discuss first?
Well, first and foremost, and the reason I do the cap thing, I'll let you know, is I'm an artist. I'm a singer myself.
I see.
And so we're always trying to get out there. We're always trying to meet people and network and see where we can take our projects, you know, so that they get fully appreciated.
Right.
And so being that's why I'm always like, caps, you know, listen, you know, because I send out so many emails and I'm sure you get bombarded, you know, so that's why I do caps. But anyhow, so I'm a singer first and foremost. I sing R&B, I sing opera, I sing all kinds of different genres, yes.
Did you bring anything with you? A CD or something?
No.
I mean, what kind of a musician are you?
I know, my hands were full with my dog carrier, and I was just like running down here. Anyway,
yeah, I mean, you come all the way here. I wish we could play your music.
But
maybe you can send it to us, email it to us or something,
I'll
we'll play
drop
it here.
By somehow.
Do you have a MySpace with your music on it?
I do have a MySpace, and actually you can go straight to the website, and it'll take you to my MySpace music, and that's www.ILoveBella, which is my singing name.
Bella.
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 Yes.
B-E-L-L-A. ILoveBella.com.
Yes.
Okay, there
so
you go.
I'll take you straight to it.
Yeah.
And
I'm looking at your picture. You look kind of Asian here. I mean, I would have thought you were Asian, but you're not at all, right?
No,
not even
it's
a
the
little
makeup.
Bit.
It's the makeup.
Oh, okay, and the angle maybe of the picture.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
So that's my my music. I was classically trained. I love music, sing all kinds of different genres. In fact, I'd like to invite the listeners. I'm going to be singing at the Palms on Santa Monica Boulevard, February 21st. I will be singing jazz.
Okay, where is that, in Santa Monica or
it's
West LA?
It's in West Hollywood.
Oh, West Hollywood.
Yes, so it's called the Palms, and it's a bar. And I got this gig there, and, you know, singing jazz.
Right.
I love jazz. So I'll be accompanied. It'll be acoustic, really nice. Nina Simone.
Yeah. Do you have a band that goes with you?
I love Nina Simone.
That goes back a long time.
Exactly.
Huh?
Well, I love the way she sang, and the way she represented. Her voice was so soulful, and I mean, you could feel the pain and all that she's been through in her life. She was really an amazing singer.
Yeah.
So she's definitely one of my idols. And so I like to pay tribute and sing her songs.
Now, you're saying on your website there's one of your songs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you, like, show it to me? Because I can't see. Here, just you can move over for a moment.
She's going to check out the website, and we can grab one of her songs so we can play it on air.
Okay, we're gonna. Yeah, I figure Erica's already here. We might as well play her music, you know. And
yeah,
particularly
if we can bring it up on the website.
Yeah.
So once again, if you wanted to go to her website,
there's
it's
something playing here.
www.ilovebella.com, and then you can take a look. And when are you going to play at the Palms again?
I will be playing February 21st, which is a Thursday night.
February 21st, Thursday night at the Palms on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah, we got it.
We've
is
got
that
one.
It?
Yes. We've got the song.
Yeah. Okay.
This is one of my songs. It's called Baila Baila. It's a Spanglish song.
Oh, yeah?
Spanglish.
Yes, it's Spanglish.
Oh, I like that.
Sounds nice. Listen to the beat. You like it?
Beautiful.
Yeah, she's got a nice voice.
Yeah, it's a fun song. I actually wrote this song because I was going to tour Texas, and I grew up in El Paso, Texas. Sorry.
Oh.
And so I wanted something Spanglish that, you know, kind of had that fusion of the Tex-Mex, which Selena made famous, her Tex-Mex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Selena, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she was also an influence growing up. So this was kind of my Tex-Mex version of something. So I wrote the song and.
Oh, so you wrote it yourself?
Yeah, I wrote
both
all
lyrics
my songs.
And music.
Yeah, no, music I purchased.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Yeah, music I purchased.
Uh-huh.
And my producer for that song, specifically, his name's Seven. He is an artist out of.
You know Seven?
I don't know if you know Seven. There's a lot of artists that go by the name of Seven, apparently. But he's in Torrance.
Okay.
His name is Seven, and he is.
Is he a tall guy?
No.
You're
probably thinking Seven, the movie producer, I believe. There's a movie producer.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that's who Manu talks about.
Right.
Yeah.
Because all she knows is movies, and that's it. That's where it begins, where it ends.
That's not true.
No. So, anyhow, he's a great guy, and he actually heard about my talent, and he came out to find me in Santa Barbara, where I was living for 10 years, and he went out there, and he said, you know, hey, let's work together, and I liked his beats, you know, I really did like the music, so I picked, handpicked what I liked. This actual song, though, he made for me. I said, I need something Tex-Mex, I need to hear the accordion, it needs to be, you know, that fusion. So he went ahead and he popped that beat out, and I wrote the song, and, you know, so it was a fun song.
Yeah,
it's quite
nice.
Popular on the website.
So when you produce a song,
mm-hmm.
do you go, what would be the first step? Like, like in this case, you picked out a beat,
right.
not necessarily the...
Well, beat's kind of the slang for the entire song. So
It's
basically you pick out the music. And it's actually a very difficult process because it's always like, well, where do I find a producer? And will you like this producer?
Right.
Will you mesh with this producer? Will you be able to write to the music? Are they going to have good songwriters?
Okay,
it's,
because,
it's really
because that's what I was like. What,
right.
How do you would then have to write to that particular song,
exactly.
correct? That particular music.
Exactly.
Right.
Unless they have songwriters that do it for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, there's two ways to write a song. You can write the lyrics first and then the music,
mm-hmm.
or you can do the music first and then put the lyrics to
right.
it. You know, I used to, I wrote a lot of songs
mm-hmm.
when I was a kid. I used to play guitar and sing. And but I would find it always easier to do the lyrics first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sort of like create a rhythm in your head of,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't have to have music, but just the rhythm,
right,
just the beat,
right.
and then you put the music on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
I've done both as well,
mm-hmm.
and producing your own music, it's it's great if you have both talents, because really they're two talents that aren't apart from each other.
Right.
So it's like either you're a great songwriter or a great composer. Right. Very few people are both. But, you know, if you are, it's great. Yeah. And I've done it backwards, and I've done it, you know, music first. I've done it lyrics first. And for me, being that I don't consider myself a composer, I think it, you know, it works best that I write to something that's already done.
Right.
So I get the feel, the emotions there. Everything's, it's like a play. The setting is set. And
okay.
So basically you just kind of, you're writing the plot, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and I really enjoy it, songwriting. I used to do it since I was about 6 years old.
Yeah.
My sister would give me songs that were already famous on the radio,
uh-huh.
like Madonna and whatever.
Yeah.
And she would say, okay, you know, now do your own thing to it. And she would set a little stage, and I would sing and totally ad-lib and make my own songs.
Yeah.
And that was really my
start.
Really? Yeah,
nice.
it was my start.
So did you, at some point, did you end up going to the karaoke bars?
All the time. I was the karaoke queen.
That's where we all get started.
Yes, I had a following. In fact, and because
you had a following at karaoke.
I have in Santa Barbara a karaoke following.
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
To the point where there's one gentleman that would go listen to me sing, and every time I got up to sing, he'd give me $100 bill.
Really?
Oh, yes. My God. Oh,
wow. Every time. So it was actually great.
Yeah, well,
nice little tips.
Yeah, I know, but it kind of make me feel like a stripper or something if someone gives me money every time I performed, you know?
Hey, it's your craft, you know? I enjoyed it very much. You know, singing is my life. So being that singing is my life, the next thing that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that's
was,
what I wanted to ask
right,
you.
Right, Power Records is how it kind of came about.
Power Records.
Power Records.
Yeah,
which
that's,
I've heard.
That's with a P, not Tower Records, the record stores
right.
that closed down.
Yeah.
But this is Power Records.
Power
okay.
Records. Right. And I named it Power Records because I'm trying to give power back to the original artists, back to independent artists who don't have the outlets of having this mass distribution deal of all these, you know, record stores and a big marketing, you know, multi-million dollar marketing behind them.
Right,
It's for people like me who have a product. The product's good.
Uh-huh.
People like it. But where are you going to sell it? Yeah, everything is geared right now in the music industry. Now it's going towards everything cyber. Everything's online.
Yeah,
digital
right.
media, right?
Yeah.
And
like
so
our radio station over here.
Right. Yeah. Everything is digital, and it's easy, and it gives everybody the chance. What's so wonderful about it? It gives everybody the opportunity to, you know, do what they want to do, like you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. But the problem with digital media is, again, if they don't know who you are, you know, the cyberspace is enormous, you know? You get
right.
lost. So I think with me, with Empower Records, it's a way to, because I have a boutique in Hollywood.
Uh-huh. What
and this
kind
is
of
where it comes
is
into
that?
The next
yeah.
phase.
Okay.
The
yeah,
boutique.
She's an enterprising girl.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm a young entrepreneur.
How old are you?
I'm 29.
You're 29.
29.
And already you've started this whole...
Yes.
Okay, this
yes.
is fantastic.
Yeah, but this Power Records sounded
right.
interesting. I went to
yeah.
the website and
well,
stuff.
Well, the so. Way I formatted it, the way I structured it is what makes it really interesting.
Right.
But I have to bring in the boutique because it's a big player in the Power Records. It's a boutique in Hollywood called Muse on Sunset. It's on Sunset Boulevard.
I've heard of it.
Okay, great.
Yes, I've driven past and I've seen Muse. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, so that's my store.
That's your store.
It's in between, it's next door to Sunset Thai, in between Toy Thai and Chibo Restaurant. So it's a great location.
Yeah.
Fun to stop by after dinner.
Yes.
And I'm open late, 2 p.m. to midnight, so it's a fun.
Wow.
It's a late night crowd
yeah.
there.
Are there people buying clothes at midnight?
Oh yes,
really.
I've stayed open till 3 a.m. selling clothes.
Probably women, you know. I mean,
you know
all
what?
Those shoppers, you know.
Well, it's our instinct, our hunting and gathering instinct.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton's little entourage that the night before last, the
right.
one that came out of the club naked,
right.
no pants on, should have went down to
and
your
she
store.
Should have. I would have totally hooked her up.
Yeah, would have been perfect, huh?
Yeah.
So, what kind of clothes do you sell there?
Well, it's just a really eclectic like collection. I'm really trying to get my whole life, my whole being is it. I'm trying to incorporate people who are independent, you know, independent artists of all mediums,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
So, as far as fashion, what I'm trying to do is work with local designers to get them to bring their things and people who, you know, not household brand names, but people have a good product and want to sell it and it's unique. And that's basically where I'm headed in that direction. But I do have stuff, you know, really cute dresses and like S12 and S-line and these really cute lines of clothing that that people, a lot of boutiques, Melrose and everywhere else carry. Yeah.
So, so how is Power Records
related
to that?
With this. Yeah. Because Muse is it's like two rooms. The first room is clothing. The second room is music. And I have I call it an independent listening lounge, where I have iPods connected to, you know, sofas.
Really?
Yeah, and you can sit and browse the music selection there.
Sounds great.
Right. I have my music there as well. But I have a new client, a new artist by the name of Amasua. Mm-hmm. And she has like a discotheque. And I carry all genres. So really, you know, if you spend your time and your creativity and put it into a product, such as music, and it's packaged well, because I only accept professionally packaged things, and you want to sell it, then this is your outlet. So it's right in Hollywood.
So is it a record store?
So it's like this boutique of all kinds of things, fashion and music, because really fashion and music go hand in hand anyway.
Right. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Now, so just say an artist, a local Los Angeles artist, they have this package there, and you mean by package what? Their DVD? Their CD, like professionally recorded CD, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and is that all they needed to come in?
That's all they need.
But it has to be professionally produced and everything like that.
Well, I don't care if it's professionally produced. I mean, I do want quality products, but it has to be packaged professionally. Like, people come to me all the time with paper, you know, it's like,
people play around with this stuff.
Okay, right.
You want to make
sure they can
sure
come to you.
Right.
And
I want them to be
serious. Say, you know, I am an artist. This is my music. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get it promoted, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So they come to you.
Right.
That is amazing.
So
I love
it's a brand new, you know, it's a seed that I've planted, and my boutique's only been open 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I've advertised this all over the nation. I've got people from Germany calling saying, "Hey, can I sell my CD in your store?"
Wow.
Well, absolutely, you can.
Yes.
Where is it? Oh, well, it's not ready yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you've
okay,
gotta have it ready.
Come on, Los Angeles, let's get on it. You know.
Yeah. But you know what's interesting about this is sort of like going back to the days where you had record stores. Remember when you used to be able to go in and listen and sample the record and sort of, and, you know, and
that
stuff.
I remember that.
Yeah. And
well, that's the way it used to be. You used to be able, if you had a quality song, go into a record store and say, "Hey, I want to sell this here." And if they believed in you, they would put it on the shelf and give it a chance. I mean, it was that simple.
Because you never know. Yeah.
Right. And so that's where it's going back to, because see, these humongous corporate giants in the recording industry, they're falling because of the cyber, you know, all the media.
Yeah. I mean, Tower Records went out of business.
Right.
I mean,
Tower
they're huge.
Records.
Tower Records is like an American icon, you know.
Totally.
That was the first thing I heard of when I came here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
but the amazing thing about what Erica is doing is when everybody is going into the internet, you're going back to the roots.
Yes, the roots is saying, okay, you know, let me give you that chance again, because it's so expensive for an artist. I mean, it's hard enough because you've got to pay for your producer, you got to pay for your recording, you got to pay for your duplication. I mean, the whole process is very expensive.
Yes.
And especially if you do it right and you want a quality project, I mean, it's expensive.
Yes.
So this is a low cost. Now, there is a fee associated with it, and I do want to discuss that. It's $25 a month. So you put your CDs, I mean, it's kind of consignment, but not so. So it's $25 a month, and you get your shelf space.
Right.
You get your shelf. You're renting shelf space.
Okay.
So you put your product on there. It could be your product. It could be your friend's product. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as, you know, you're taking responsibility for rights and all that stuff.
Okay.
Right.
So are you expecting them to bring in not just one CD, but
exactly
a few, so that it can actually
CDs.
Up to 25 CDs, or it has to be 25 CDs?
I mean, I will be flexible if they've got 15 and it's okay, you know, but two or five is just not going to make a present,
you know? Okay.
So I figure 25 fills up the shelf and it looks like a nice present there.
Yeah.
So
nice. Okay.
That's what we do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, and it's cheap.
So Manu, when you're ready to record,
there
you go.
That's right.
You
can go when you're ready. I'm ready.
No, you don't sing, huh? Okay.
Well, I don't think I've really tried. I mean, I have.
Yeah.
When you know, when I did college arts, I was Lois Lane for the Superman, the musical. Uh-huh.
Trust
and
me,
I
Manu.
And I was Lois Lane.
Really? So listen to me, Manu. If you haven't done it by now, then you probably can't sing.
No, right?
No,
you know, that's
not
true.
You
no,
said you haven't tried.
No, no, because...
But don't you think if you could sing by now, you would know?
No, no, not at all. Because you have to remember the way I grew up. Okay. You have to remember that I was growing up in the outback of Australia. Right. I didn't have that information source to me.
Right.
I wasn't... No seeds were planted in my mind to pursue anything of the sort.
Right.
You know, and the only thing that really kind of tweaked my brain a little bit was the fact that I did college arts and drama.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I did get the role of Lois Lane in the Superman, the musical.
It was a musical.
You know, it was a musical.
Nice, yeah.
So not only did I have to act, but I sang as well in the Superman, the musical. So I must have had something.
So you did sing. So you
yes,
did
I did.
Okay, well, you didn't say that before.
Yeah, no. And so...
we're going to have to take you to karaoke, and I want to see for myself.
There we go. Invite me. I would love to go. We'll do a duet.
Yeah. But you know what my problem is that I don't... like, there's a lot of music that I'll try to sing with and everything like that, and I think I can follow it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to words or belting out something that I know the words of, forget it. I don't know the words.
Right.
So I would have to have the words, and I would have
Well, that's what's nice about karaoke.
Practice,
exactly.
You know.
That comes with practice.
That's why I love karaoke, because I have a horrible memory. So to me, I know, as a singer, that's like such a detriment. It's like, So I can remember my own words and whatnot, but sometimes I don't. But it's great with karaoke because it's right there in your face and you're able to read along. Yeah. And I
did my first karaoke probably about a year ago, the very first time.
Aww.
Yeah, because, I mean, back in Australia, I was in the military for over 8 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of course, my mind still isn't in the entertainment or music or anything of the sort.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't until I was 28, 29 years old that I started dabbling into the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Theoretically, I've only had 9 years with the seed in my mind that this is the direction I want to go to.
Right. Yeah.
Before, I was just hardcore militant.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, give
but
me a gun.
You have tons of experience with the microphone and the earphones, because that's part of recording, really.
Yes.
You know, you've got to be able to hear yourself, and it's much like speaking. Everybody can sing. You just have to focus on it.
Yeah. Now, Erica, I wanted to ask you, so you probably opened this because that was a problem or something that you encountered, right? I mean, you wanted to be able to be discovered and all that stuff, and there wasn't any kind of avenue to do that.
No. I mean, the avenues are... it's down to, like, this is where we're at. You've got to be on American Idol these days, or you got to make it into American Idol, which I auditioned. I passed several auditions, but when I got to the final audition, which wasn't Paula and Simon, the executive producer, he's like, you know, you're an amazing singer, but you're just not interesting to me. And
you're not
like,
marketable.
Right. And I thought, okay, well, all right. Whatever.
It all comes down to the look,
right? Well, not necessarily.
It's not only
anymore.
The look. But let me tell you something about casting, okay? Whether it's for TV, for, you know, singers
TV's
or
different.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is this, in casting, they have a specific. What was that?
That was
the
my
bell.
Phone.
Oh, that was your phone. I thought it was the bell from the dog's
bell.
Collar there.
What is it, by the way?
What was I saying?
Something about casting. It's not
about
the casting.
So exactly. So when people look for candidates to fill a part, they have something specific in mind. You know, it's just like when I was looking for a co-host, I had something in mind. You know,
right.
I already knew. So it doesn't mean that all the 200 people that did not get it were bad talent. It's just that they were not what I had in mind.
Right.
So it's not a reflection on you, and I don't see it as that. You know, it's like a numbers game, just like when you sell something. You know, you go enough times, and finally somebody will want what you have. And that's exactly it.
You know?
That's
true. And when you watch American Idol, it's obvious everyone that goes on there does not have talent.
No,
you know?
No. So very few people.
So it's not, it's, you know, and I experienced watching it and being auditioning for it that, you know, they specifically go and pick people that are horrible so that Simon can pick them apart. And it's that's the, where the ratings came from in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, and American Idol is great, and but it's a definitely... These are the avenues that we have to go through as artists to try to get recognized. And recognition is not my major, you know, point anyway. I want my music to be appreciated. And as a singer, I just love to sing. It makes me whole. It's what I love to do.
Right, yeah.
So, that's what I found when I was doing this. I said, okay, now I have a CD. I had 5,000 copies. What do I do with it?
Yeah, what do you do with it?
What do I do with it? Okay, well, you've got to get a distribution deal. How do I get a distribution deal? You know, I'm a go-getter. I'm going to do this. What do I do? Yeah. Well, you've got to submit it and see if they'll give you a distribution deal. And then again, you're at someone else's mercy. And so I said, no, this is stupid. You know, there's so many artists out here and millions of artists and that have good products. Let's give them a stage, a place to sell their music without somebody, you know, saying, no, I'm not going to carry it or whatever.
Yeah. And this is great. So that's mainly why I invited Erica, because I think this is going to give an opportunity to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of aspiring talent in LA.
Oh, yes. So
you
much.
Know, and so this is a good outlet. You know,
thank
I think
you
this
so
is
much.
Really nice.
I make a habit of going to different places, clubs, and just seeing bands that are playing.
Uh-huh.
Have no idea who they are or what the music is like, but just for the sake of listening to music.
You're supporting independent music.
Yeah, and I have heard some phenomenal music, and it's like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then, I write up on their fan mail list.
Oh, that's so sweet.
For my support, you know. And I do buy their CD.
Yeah.
Good.
Erica,
good.
Were you on the... so you went to the auditions for American Idol,
yes,
right? But they didn't show you on TV.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because you seem normal to me. You know? I mean, they don't take normal people. You know, and that's probably why he said you're not interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Because they want the weirdos, or they want the
They want something to entertain.
Exactly.
Because it's not about the music, that show.
It's not.
You know?
No,
well,
it's not.
I mean, my favorite part is the auditions. You know, because it's the funniest thing. You know, to see the and you can tell.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, if it was about the music, the producers would never let those those weirdos on there in the first place,
right.
You know, but they're going for entertainment value here,
exactly.
And
that's true.
And it's definitely entertaining,
but
that's why I haven't really been watching anything at all. I don't watch TV hardly any.
Neither
but when I did watch American Idol, it was pretty much just the auditions, and then I wasn't interested
anymore
in the actual contest. Well, I think I auditioned in New York. And there was roughly, I think there was like 6,000 people.
What?
Yes, there was 6,000 people. There was all downtown Wall Street was just
They fill stadiums and stuff.
Oh, well, no, I don't know because I don't watch television,
so
I don't.
Well, it's cool because I actually was there. So I went there. I was in Wall Street. You had to sleep on the street. This is like the second year.
So wait a minute. You went all the way to New York? They didn't have auditions here?
They did, but what happened is my brother's a special agent, and he was graduating in Washington, D.C. at the time. So people had urged me. I never saw the show, and people always, you need to do American Idol. You need to do. And I said, well, it's there, and it came on the radio, you know, American Idol auditions in New York. So at the time I was married, and my ex said, hey, let's take a train out, and we'll get to see the fall leaves and, you know, go up the coast, and we'll go to New York.
Right.
And I said, let's see.
Yeah.
And when I got there and there was thousands of people, I actually got there early enough to where I was in closer to the front of the line. So I said, okay, but I beat out probably, they only gave, I think, about 250 second auditions. So I beat out thousands of people. I sang Vision of Love by Mariah Carey, and I hit the notes. I mean, it was amazing.
Really?
Can you try to sing that now?
Oh, yeah.
Probably not on that microphone.
Yeah.
why don't you come
fine.
Over here?
You
she
think
can
so?
Sing it fine.
I'll back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean,
yeah.
You
I
don't
have
a
big
to
voice.
Back up much.
No,
yeah.
No, no. This
okay.
This song
okay.
is
do
like
whatever
really intense.
Okay,
so I'm not warmed up here, but so... Treating me kind, sweet destiny, carry me through desperation. to the one that was waiting for me. It took so long, but still I believed somehow the one that I needed would find me eventually.
There's a piece of it. Yeah.
I love the song.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah. And what I did is I just picked a very small portion because they give you like 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
That's it.
Really? That's it?
That's it.
Five seconds?
And if you sing horrible, you don't even get 5 seconds.
So oh, my God.
I was lucky enough to sing the whole song. And I at
wow.
the end, yeah, I had kind of made my little arrangement, but at the end, I sang all the, you know, high notes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they said, you're in. So I was like, okay, and you audition in groups. So right. they take you in groups of, I think that was that time it was groups of 8. Mm-hmm. So I beat out the 8, and then they say, okay, come back.
This is the first round.
First round. And then wow. second round, same thing. Group,
wow.
beat out, next. So up to that point, they felt, well, for whatever reason, it was
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
And I guess at some point, I being out in the cold, I got a cold, you know? Mm. So, because this was October in New York, and we were out there all night.
Yeah.
So, 2 days later is when my final audition was. My voice was like it is now. It was very raspy.
Uh-huh.
And so, I sang, and it wasn't my best.
Yeah, I know. It's sometimes you just hit it on the bad day,
exactly.
and you go, they didn't really see what I'm like.
Yeah,
you know?
And yeah. but it's okay. I went on to do other things and complete albums and actually work a lot in studios, and that is yeah. my... the music you hear online is
right.
my very first demo, and I have a lot that I'm working on now, other projects with other producers.
Great.
And so it's really cool. I'm really excited about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay, Erica, so why don't you, because we're running out of time here, mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and plug your websites and, mm-hmm. Okay, you have ilovebella.com.
That's my music.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then you have museonsunset.com.
Yes, that is the boutique.
Music. Oh, that's the boutique.
That's the boutique.
Okay.
And then
right.
I have mypowerrecords.com.
Mypowerrecords.com.
Yes, and okay. that will give you all the information about the distributing within the store and whatnot.
Yeah, so if you're an aspiring mm-hmm. musician and you need an outlet, you need exposure, Erica is the person to go to,
yes.
right?
And if someone wants to visit you at the Muse, what's the address exactly?
The address is 7515 Sunset Boulevard.
Okay, 7515 Sunset Boulevard.
2 and midnight, mm-hmm. I will be happy to speak with you.
That's awesome.
That's
thank
awesome.
You guys
well, thank
having
you so much for coming.
Thank
I mean,
you.
I love the dog. I really love. Look, yeah, she's eating Manu's dress now. yeah.
And look at my skirt. It's all wet.
Yeah.
She's dribbled aww, everywhere.
Sorry. Thank you, guys.
Thank
pleasure.
You.
Oh, the song.
Really pleasure meeting you. Oh, is this the song?
That's the song.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, you did it pretty well. I think you did it
yeah.
pretty well.
Yeah,
it's a hard song to do. It's very high.
Very. This is one of her first.
That was her first hit?
First.
It was the first hit, yeah.
Oh.
That's why I have it. I still love this song.
It's an amazing song.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Erica.
Thank you so much.
To the one that was waiting for me. It took so long. Still I believe. Eventually, I had a vision of a love, and it was all that you've given to me.
Okay, we're back.
We are back.
Yeah, we're sort of like late on what we're doing here. So
we were being distracted.
Yeah, we were, weren't we?
Yeah, we were still in conversation.
Yeah. And but you know what, let's play another quick song, just part of it really, just so we can say goodbye to Erica, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
I apologize for the quality of the music here. I don't know what we have with the equipment today, but it sounds terrible. So, Manu, what did you think?
I thought she was amazing.
Yeah.
I really loved her.
Yeah. I mean, she's, you know, she's...
And she's an attractive woman.
Yeah, yeah. But you can imagine where my eyes were the whole time.
I know.
Right? I know. I mean, how can you not? Okay? I mean, you know, she... you know, I mean...
Hey, but she had uncovered up. I mean, it wasn't all out there.
Excuse me.
She was still discreet.
It was not discreet, okay? I can see an entire cleavage, and you know, and I mean, she's well built, you know. I mean, it's she's you know,
she's
they're big,
okay?
They're
people.
Big. To put it mildly,
he cannot get over the fact that she has big bosoms.
Yeah, and she's showing them around. I mean, no, but yeah. but let me tell you, this is the difficulty of being a man, okay? Because you know, and that's why I, you know, when I talk to someone, I mean, they could have their tits hanging out completely. I still would look at the person's eyes, you know, because it's embarrassing to, because I've seen people where they look down when they're talking to you and look at your chest, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I would not be caught dead staring, but you can't help but notice, you know. And I would bet you that they do this because they want to. It's not like inadvertently that she doesn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah.
Yeah, but at any rate,
just like that lady that you
which
saw
one?
On Wilshire. You were noticing this woman's legs.
Oh yes, yes. When I wrecked my car.
And you ran into someone.
Not funny. Not funny at all.
Well, Sam,
I'm telling you, I'm
really getting the gist of you now.
Yeah, I know. Well, my wife's going to kill me tonight.
You know I'm going to start coming in here.
Yeah. I'm telling her she shouldn't watch the show anymore, but she doesn't listen to me, you know.
Well, speaking of revealing themselves, which I really don't think she was revealing herself. She had a sweater on, and yes, there was cleavage, but I don't think the shirt was...
Excuse me. Okay. You know what? I'm not going to argue about it.
But anyways, Britney Spears, she is up to her antics again.
Oh yeah, what'd she do this time?
Now, come on, this girl is supposed to be, I don't know what's going through her freaking mind, but she goes to 40 Deuce last night. Have you ever heard of that club, 40 Deuce?
No, I've not. Where is it?
I think it's on...
It's probably near our house in Studio City.
I think it's on Santa Monica Boulevard or something like that, or Melrose or Melrose Avenue. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one. I have been there.
Right.
And it's a small little club, and it has burlesque dancers there that do a very fashionable kind of like 40s, 30s style dance routines that include a little bit of striptease.
Okay.
It's very sexual. It's awesome to go and watch.
Right.
Well, Britney is up there. She's having herself a few champagne cocktails. And then she decides, while during the show, like the professional girls are doing, she decides to get up on stage and start doing her own strip show.
Are you serious? And that was last night?
This was last night.
Now, you heard that she was discharged from the hospital, and her family are not happy about it.
Yes.
Yeah. So she went straight to the club.
Yeah, and that's
what
she does.
She's beyond repair.
And so, so the manager, you know, the owner of the club, came out and tried to get her off the stage, and she refused. And so there was a little bit of, you know, thing going on there, obviously. So eventually they did get her off, and then she just kept on drinking, and that's all I'm aware of.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know what's going to happen with her, but she's...
But yeah, she decided to do her own little striptease.
She's an accident waiting to happen, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, anyway, that was the gossip from last night, let's put it that way.
So, let's see. Beautiful day.
It is.
And, you know, there's
actually
one more show.
It's starting to get warm.
Yeah, it is. After a long time of it being freezing, you know.
Yeah.
Yesterday when I left the house in the morning, it was 37 degrees, believe it or not.
What was it this morning?
I don't know. I didn't check. My mind was somewhere else this morning when I was driving to work. But, so I wanted to mention one more show that's going to be on at 7 o'clock tonight that's specific because we are in L.A.
Right.
And it's going to be, obviously, 7 o'clock is 10 o'clock Eastern time. And this is the, it's called Broad Topics, and it's by four ladies.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Now, they're doing this once a week, right?
Once a week from 7 to 9. They're actually doing a two-hour show because
right.
I figured with so many women having so much to say, an hour is just not going to be enough.
Well, look how time flies when it's just you and me.
Right.
And then we have a guest, and next thing you know, we're all out of time.
Exactly. Yeah. So, they'll probably have a lot to say, and they're entertaining, you know. I mean, you can listen to the air check and stuff, but they'll
be here
tonight.
We even have a Rosie O'Donnell type in the Broad Topics, and she's proud of it, too.
Yeah.
So, actually, I will tune in tonight. I'm going to definitely listen in
tonight. Yeah, I mean, they're saying it's sort of like The View and stuff, so if you're into that. I'm sure the women in the audience would like that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, so we mentioned TJ, we mentioned Johnny, we mentioned Greg with the Barbecue Central tonight at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned Broad Topics. And actually the names are Laura, Joan, Kelly, and Marnie. So those are the girls... I call them girls. I'm sure they love me for it.
What's their names again?
It's Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, Laura, Joan. Those were the two that were here that
you
met. And then they have Kelly and Marnie.
Right. Okay.
So that's that. And anything else?
Do you want to hear a joke?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. this is very small and probably really corny, but, last night I was feeling so depressed. And so... You know, as a result, I ended up calling a lifeline. And you know how, like, everything just goes overseas these days. You know, you call customer service, you're talking to someone.
Wait a minute. You were depressed and you called the lifeline?
Yeah.
Is that like suicide prevention?
Well, yeah, I was so depressed.
Are you serious?
So, anyways, I called the lifeline. And the next thing I know, I'm talking to someone in Pakistan. Can you freaking believe that?
They're going to help you with your depression from Pakistan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I do not.
So, anyways, I told them, like, oh, my God, I'm so suicidal. It's like, I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, they're getting really excited.
Yeah.
And you know what they bloody said to me?
What's that?
They said, oh, can you drive a truck?
Drive a truck? Well, they want you to drive a truck into a wall and kill yourself. I mean, what is that? That's what the Pakistani got out of the whole conversation.
That's the joke, Sam.
Okay, well, in that case, this joke sucks, okay? I mean, you got me all worried here, calling the lifeline and shit, you know? All right, you got me there. I'm a sucker for these things.
I had you going.
Yes. I'm a sucker for these things. I'm like, how come she didn't tell me anything, you know? I mean, how do you go from, like, being so happy in the morning to wanting to kill yourself at night and then telling me about it and the whole world, you know? You're nuts.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I'd had to come up with that one.
All right, well, it's Thursday, so we have one more day of the week.
Yes.
Right, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Already. Isn't that amazing?
Yep. We're going to be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. We just love
you for being there. You're making it all possible. And even if there was one person there, I'd still do the show.
Yeah.
So, but we love all of you being here.
And please, you know, please go onto our website and go into the forums.
Yeah.
Register with the forum because, you know, it gives us an idea of what you're thinking.
Yes, tell us what you want.
How we can relate it to the show. If there's anything you want us to mention on the show, just write it in the forum. We'd be glad to read them out.
That too. And please don't be shy to call in. We could have a blast. We always do. So feel free to call in.
Goodbye, LA.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Bye, Sam.